Welcome to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Second Amendment Radio. Tony Colombo here with my partner, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you. Good to see you. And we have Ryan Wiggins in for Chad Ellis this week.
Hello,
Chad
there.
Is out. I don't know if we're allowed to say this, but he is up in our nation's capital fighting the good fight.
Is he?
I don't know.
So you're not allowed to say that.
I thought he was just kind of hanging out and looking at closed monuments.
Hey, he might be fighting a good fight.
I don't know.
You know?
Is he with the girlfriend?
I really don't know. Oh. I just know he's taking some well-deserved time off. Oh. But Chad will be back with us next week. And in the meantime, Ryan is here. So thank you, Ryan, for your help today. Got a big show on tap for you. We have more questions that you guys have been submitting. Keep that up. You can always ask us questions on my Twitter, at TonyColombo971, or you can go to the Southern Armory Facebook page or the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. Right. Put your questions there. We'll try to answer them on the air. Aaron answers very many of them just right there on Facebook. So it's a great way to get your questions answered, particularly those two Facebook pages, Southern Armory Facebook page and Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. Go and submit your questions there, and Aaron may answer them in person right there on the page, and then we may also answer them here on the radio.
Yep.
So go and check that out. Go ahead.
The one we've been having this week has been the bump stock conversation.
Yeah.
I got posted up. Brad at the shop posted it, and we've been chit-chatting about that. The joke has been the last day to go fishing is in March. You take your bump stock with you, and the boat's going to sink, I guess.
Well, we will definitely talk about that. I have some other questions that I want to.
There's that pending lawsuit. So, I mean, that's going to be an unfolding topic, kind of going forward.
Very good. Also, in the next segment of this show, we're going to be joined by Stephen Marks. Stephen is the president of the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance, and this is an organization that has been around fighting for gun rights for a while. I know
mid-90s, I guess.
Yeah.
Mid to late 90s.
And Stephen has been a gun rights advocate for a very long time and very focused on on your carrying rights. He was part of the fight to get conceal and carry allowed in the state of Missouri, and now is trying to eliminate a lot of these no-carry areas like public transit and places like that. So the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance continues to fight for your gun rights, and we're going to talk to Stephen Marks about that in a few minutes. But first, what is happening at Southern Armory?
So the buy one, get one half off is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Been getting a lot of used guns in, and we post those used guns back up on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you're not online, you need to do that. We're working on a newsletter. We've had a few requests for topics to be covered. Red flag laws have obviously been a big one, and this year is going to be, I think, a big year for the newsletter. It's going to be a constant thing with a lot of information in there. Plus, I'm going to try to organize some groups to go out and testify before the state representatives and the mm-hmm. state senate on the red flag laws, and then some of the other things that we have, coming up, including the bill to get us the ability to carry on public transit. But I always tell my students in classes, if we get this law to carry it on public transit, where are you going to go? And they're like, oh, I'm going to go to a cards game. Can't carry it at a cards game.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm going to go see a Blues game. Can't carry it at a Blues
Mm-mm.
game. So it's going to be, really, it's going to be aimed at the individuals that are commuting into work every day that may drive right now, but maybe live in, Kirkwood or some of the outlying areas that may be able to get a Metrolink to go into the downtown area, or even maybe the people in downtown that want to get out into the county a little bit and go to some great restaurants or see some attractions.
I hate to say it. I hate to be this blunt. And I know that, I'm a big supporter of the city, and I know that there are going to be supporters of the city listening to this and, getting angry at me for saying this, but Metrolink is already a dangerous place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To be. Like, I'm not saying, of course, the vast majority of the time when you get on Metrolink and take a ride, you're going to be fine, and then you're not going to have any problems.
Right.
But we've just seen too many stories.
Yeah.
We've read too many news stories. There's been too many incidents that has happened on Metrolink, and the
People are getting seriously hurt. These are the ones that make the news.
And
these
the
are
fact
not the,
is,
the
is the bad guys
stuff.
Are bringing their guns.
And they're getting away.
Yeah, and they are armed on Metrolink and other public transit that they're not supposed to be.
Right.
So...
Or they're on the property at the station waiting on you. And
the best way to combat that is to allow the good guys to have their guns on Metrolink as well. And I would at least give it a shot. See what, no pun intended, you know, get, but just try it and see. Maybe once some of these folks realize that the people on the train
are armed,
that they wouldn't be as... likely to
be there
to try to rob them,
or figure out an easier spot,
or assault them,
softer
correct.
Target,
exactly.
You know, and at the same time, you kind of hit it on the head. The media does want to sensationalize some stuff, so we do hear about the normally the murders or the serious bodily injury. We don't really hear about the person that got robbed with the crowbar, the knife, in the parking lot because nothing happened. Maybe it didn't even get reported,
right?
So, you know, and they have tried to increase security. I mean, I got a buddy that's actually a Metrolink cop for the county, and they moved him over from traffic. And I was like, "Who'd you make mad?" And he goes, "I'm trying to figure that out, man." and then when it all came out, they were putting more officers over in that division, and traffic was one of the divisions they pulled officers from. At least he was. So now we have one less officer on the road doing traffic, and he was actually a DWI enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, man, you know, it's like. You know, there's a balance there.
Yeah.
So hopefully it gets figured out. But I agree with you. The cheapest, easiest, and best solution is to just allow the people that have gone and gotten the permit to carry.
Yeah.
To carry.
Yeah.
Let them embrace that liberty of protecting themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't, and those are the kind of individuals that want it. So,
and it could just be a deterrent. It may not even, you may not even ever have to, but just the fact that you're allowed now to be armed, it may deter those criminals from doing bad things because they're afraid that now they're not, right now they know they're the only ones out there with a gun. They know they're the only ones there with a weapon.
Right.
Because everybody else is probably obeying the law.
Right. Law abiding. And honestly, it's only going to take one of them getting shot.
Sure.
To make them figure out, oh, wait a minute, maybe this is not too safe.
Yeah.
And maybe a few won't get that memo.
Or not even shot. Just you know, somebody showing that they can defend themselves.
Right.
And that diffuses the situation immediately.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk to Stephen more about this issue, because I know that the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance is
on the forefront of
that issue. Want to go back to the store for a second. Talk about used guns and why sometimes you know, maybe a used gun is a perfect way to get started or maybe add to your collection. I would imagine that they are they're a little bit cheaper than a brand new gun.
So they generally are cheaper.
A less waiting period if there's something that's not in the store that
you can get in there, you can buy it immediately. I think the big thing with the used gun is, like, we get people that'll get on and go, you know, they'll get on our Facebook and they'll see a used gun we had a week ago. And they'll contact us. Do you still have that? Nope. It sold within, you know, 2 days. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the average lifespan of a used gun in the stores, 2 to 3 days. So you really need to get on the social media and connect with us. But what you're getting is you're getting a gun that generally these guns are not always heavily used. A lot of them come in and they're like, I bought it. I shot it. I didn't like it. Here's a box of ammunition, you know, and there's 20 or 30 shells left, which is like half a box, and that's all I shed out of the gun. So we get a lot of those that come in the store. The other thing, too, is we inspect them. We open them up. We look at them, make sure that there's no broken parts, that everything functions, they cycle, etc. And then if they do need it, we go ahead and give it a deep clean. If there's any warranty issues that need to be taken care of, we get the warranty issues taken care of. So when you buy a used gun from Southern Armory, there's some assurances that we have gone through it.
Yeah.
And there are guns that, believe it or not, we turn away.
Yeah.
We're like, no, it's just going to require.
That was going to be my next question. If somebody does have a gun that they want to sell, or they're looking to maybe upgrade and they want to supplement the price of the new gun by trading in an old gun. What types of guns do you guys take, and are you interested in purchasing, and what would make you say, there's nothing I can do with that.
We'll literally buy anything, Right, if the price is right. Mm-hmm. So some guns, and not picking on anybody in particular, but the like the 40 caliber semi-autos, they don't sell like 9s and 45s. Mm-hmm. They don't even really sell like 45s. Like if I had to rank it, we sell more 9s and 380s than we do 40 and 45. And 40 is the least, mm-hmm. you know. So a 40 we're going to give less money for because yeah. we're going to have to sit on it a little longer.
Right.
Then you get into some of the niche stuff like the Ruger Vaqueros, which is a single action like cowboy pistol. That's a niche group that's going to want that. We do get in a lot of shotguns. Shotguns on the used market sell fairly well. ARs sell fairly well. And then when you get into the bolt action guns, you know, you're talking about a guy that's going to go out and hunt or precision shoot. And depending on what the caliber is, they will sell all right. You're going to sit on them. There are going to be certain times of year that they will sell. So it's just kind of a numbers game, a how well it will sell game. And, you know, we have all the above that come into the shop. It's just, you know, now, right now, January is not the time to sell a deer gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're going to have to sit on it until, you know, September or October. So we're going to give you less money for it because... Right. We've got to sit there and hang out.
Will you give more on a gun that is being traded in to go up? Is it like a car dealer?
Right.
You know, you can get more for your car if you're trading it in and you're buying a new car from that right. place than if you just want to straight sell it. The same way at gun stores?
Yeah,
or is it kind of?
It depends.
Yeah.
You know, like, are you going to buy another gun here? And then we look at it and we go, okay, well, they're getting another used gun. We've got a little bit of margin in there. So giving them an extra $25. Well, is it $25 off on the gun they're buying? Or $25 more
sure.
on the gun they're giving to us.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mute, you know, factor
right.
In there. What does get you more is when you bring in the original box. Like, we just had a guy bring in an awesome 44 mag revolver. And you know, I was looking at it, and I was like, I might want this. My wife goes, you just got a Glock, like the 9/11 Memorial Glock. No, you're not getting another gun right now. So... but it didn't have the original box. It didn't have the original paperwork, you know, just kind of the stuff that it would normally come with. And the gun was in phenomenal shape. Like, you can tell the guy, like, you know, greased it up, threw it in a safe, didn't really shoot it a whole lot.
Right.
Just wanted to kind of get rid of it. But the original box for a guy like me, that adds some value, having the original instruction manual and the test shells and any of the other little stuff they come with. 'Cause sometimes they will come with, you know, patches, stickers, you know, keychains, belt buckles, that
right.
kind of stuff. So
that's super
kind
cool.
of a kind of an interesting little niche. But yeah, if you bring in all the other stuff that originally came with, yeah, we're going to give you more for it. So just bringing in a gun and one magazine, not going to get as much. Because we know guns come with two or three.
Yeah,
very rarely do they come with one.
Right.
So
that's awesome. And you mentioned earlier the buy one, get one half off is still happening for the conceal and carry classes.
Yep.
Is that in
yep.
defensive pistol classes
yep.
as well?
All that included. It's the CCW class, a defensive pistol class, and we're going to run this special up to about Valentine's Day.
Nice.
So you can get a buddy or
don't miss out.
Get a girlfriend.
Yeah. Take advantage of that.
You got plenty of time. Yeah, I think my wife worked it out to like $90-something a piece. Normally the class is $125.
Right.
So you're saving like $35.
And how often are the classes?
Twice a month for CCW classes, once a month for defensive pistol.
Yeah.
CCW
so
classes.
You still got some classes, still some time to get those classes booked and
right.
take
and really,
advantage of this.
You have 1 year from the time you buy it.
Oh,
so
that's
cool. You can buy it as a gift certificate.
Oh, nice.
And you have 1 year.
Oh, that's even better.
So you can buy it now, schedule it in June, July, August. But the defensive pistol class is by far my favorite. We go to our own property that we have a range set up on, and we shoot there. We're not indoors. It's just us kind of talking. And then depending on what I want to bring out, you know, I bring out some guns that are threaded with suppressors, and if you've got the ammo to run through it, you know, go for it. You know, have a good time, kind of experience that kind of stuff.
All right, we about have to take a break here. Stephen Marks from the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance. We're going to talk to him next, but don't forget all of your firearms needs, self-defense needs,
yep.
All the classes, everything. You guys have it all covered out there right. at Southern Armory. And where are you guys located?
9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44 in southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com. Hey, I'm the new guy.
Yeah. He's a little late.
It's all right. It's all right.
I didn't know.
Chad would have been right on that.
Yeah, he would have been like had the mic button on, and then one other thing that kind of got brought up before we go to break real quick was
and do the website one more time before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we will. So he can feel better.
Say what you're gonna say.
Yeah. So they were like, you know, hey, I got trapped on the roadway. You know,
on the ice
and the snow,
uh-huh.
And you know, like, what do you think? And you know, I'm a first responder, so I've definitely got an opinion. So I was actually having this conversation with a guy, and I was like, "You need a get home bag." And he's like, "A get home bag," and I'm like, "Yeah." And you know that every time I come in here, I've got my get home bag,
yeah,
and it's got, you know, just simple stuff in it, just to get me home. And he's like, "What about a bug out bag?" I'm like, "Those are bigger," but we have that kind of stuff at Southern Armory too.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
Last segment, we can maybe cover a little bit of that because today it's snowing, and I'm sure we're gonna hear some stories.
Right.
So we'll kind of maybe talk about that the last segment.
Sounds good.
And people can kind of start setting this up. And I'm actually going to be writing some articles for Aviation Magazine here.
Oh, that's cool.
In the Midwest, they approached me and were like, "Hey, will you write some articles about this?" I said, "Strangely, this has been a topic on the Facebook pages for the business too." And I was like, "I will throw some stuff together for you guys."
That's great.
So, look forward to that in a newsletter along with all the laws and everything else. So, SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
Now Ryan's got it.
Now that was good. I like that.
Now the guy's in the game. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that. And I've got some questions that have been submitted via the Southern Armory and Second Amendment Radio Facebook pages. So keep it here for that. We'll do that in the third segment. And coming up next, Stephen Marks, the president of the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance. We'll talk to him next on Second Amendment Radio. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with my partner Aaron Tarlow. Ryan Wiggins in for Chad Ellis producing today's show. Big thank you to Ryan.
He's got a lot to you know, fill in. He's
to
say the SouthernArmory.com the third time.
Yeah, that's right. It's a difficult thing.
It is. And we're not easy to work with.
No, that's
for sure.
My ego is so huge, it has trouble fitting through the door. And Tony is just,
I'm just an absolute egomaniac.
Yeah, he's such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Like Locke.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. It's FM News Talk 97.1. I think I already said that. We have a great guest on the phone with us. Joining us now is Stephen Marks. Stephen is the president of the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance, and an organization that is keeping a close eye on many of the things happening in the new Missouri legislature, which just kicked off a couple weeks ago.
Present and past, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen, thank you so much for your time today. How are you?
Hey, just fine, fellas. I'm sure glad you've taken a sincere interest in this issue.
Oh, absolutely. Second Amendment Radio, this radio show was born out of wanting to educate people and you know, answer their questions when it comes to Second Amendment rights and things like that. Also, we, you know, want to be able to make sure that the issues that are happening nationwide and, more importantly, probably here locally, is something that people get, you know, all the details on. So I know your organization, like I said a moment ago, is on the front lines of some of that, keeping an eye on what's happening in the Missouri State Legislature. Can you just real quick, before we get into the details of some of the issues, just talk about your organization, what you guys are all about, and maybe how people can follow your organization?
Well, Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance, we were an offshoot or a part of the concealed carry passage in the state of Missouri back around 2000, before 2000, actually. There are several of us that belong to another organization. We splintered off from that to create the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance and focus entirely on getting concealed carry passed in Missouri. There was very hard work put out by several members of the organization to get this passed. Undying trips to Jefferson City, talking to different state legislatures in the Senate and in the House. And also, after, you know, getting concealed carry passed in Missouri, which was a difficult thing to do, but I tell you what, the reward is self-evident right now, what we have here in Missouri and the laws that we have. And a lot of our members were involved with getting this accomplished. That, and as well as changing some of the erroneous laws that were on the books since the Jim Crow days here in Missouri, as the asking your sheriff in your county for permission to buy a firearm, a pistol. That was a leftover from the Jim Crow days when you had to ask government for permission.
I had to do that.
A lot of people don't want to touch
on
that issue.
Really? Yeah.
That's amazing. Where do you guys have a website or social media or anything if people want to follow
let me grab a newsletter.
Sure.
As you can tell from the talking here, I'm not very very much on the internet, but I'll give you the internet site here.
Yeah, go ahead.
www.gastl.org.
Yeah. And, STLGLA.org. Got it.
GCLASTL.org.
Got it. Very good. That is the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance. And I know that you fought hard for getting conceal and carry passed in the state of Missouri, but there are still many places in the state of Missouri and around the country that even in states or areas that allow conceal carry, there are still no carry areas, and we've talked about those many times on this show, and how places. Those can be some of the most dangerous places that there are. I know that right now public transit is one of the ones you guys are looking at the closest. Could you just talk about a little bit about what you guys are trying to assist in getting conceal and carry maybe allowed on public transportation?
Yeah, Lee, you know, this is the whole thing about we're not all blessed with living in a nice, safe environment, especially if you live in North St. Louis or in other urban intercity areas and you would like to take a ride on the public transit instead of driving. It's much more convenient a lot of times to avail yourself of the public transit system here. The state of Missouri is subsidizing it anyway right out of the chute, and why should the state of Missouri be denying people like ourselves that would like to use public transit? We've been singled out as a class of people that are unable to use it because we so choose to carry for our personal safety, ourselves or our family. And
right.
This isn't right. And this is being publicly funded by the state of Missouri. This shouldn't happen.
And if you look at it, too, you can actually carry in the Capitol building if you have a valid CCW permit. So I see the winds kind of changing, and I can see definitely your point. On that forefront.
Well, you know, you talked about going to Jefferson City and carrying in the Capitol building. My wife and I went up for a pro-gun rally this summer in Jefferson City, and it was such a treat. My wife, she's not able to walk very well, so I was using a wheelchair for her. And walking into the Capitol building, they would have to see her and myself going through the metal detectors. Well, I present them with my concealed carry endorsement from the state of Missouri. We just looked at means of past friend. Isn't that refreshing to know that I was a confirmed good person that didn't have any evil intent?
And that's how it is. I got an uncle in Texas, and that's how it is in Texas. He can go to the Capitol building, show his permit, and he goes right in. He goes, but the funny thing is they won't let me carry a knife. I can carry my gun.
That is funny.
So, isn't that refreshing?
But yeah, it is. You know, you don't have to leave it in the car. Now it's not, you know, necessarily unsecured, you know, because I tell everybody it's buying a safe. You know, it's only a matter of time and equipment, and you can get into anything.
Well, you know, this is the thing what you're talking about is our personal freedoms in our state of Missouri is really it's confirmed with a lot of the current laws that have been enacted, and not just in the recent past. And it is refreshing. You know, the people such as the Jill Shupps and Stacey Newmans in the state legislature would like to reverse all that right now. They're trying to get something going with the ire of the snowflake movement here in the state of Missouri to reverse that freedom that we have to just enter the Capitol as normal people with our endorsements if we so choose to carry. And this is the thing that is happening right now in the state legislature with some of the legislatures such as her, and the Jamila Nasheeds and a couple of the other ones, Bruce Franks. Those two are my state rep and state senators. So look what I have to deal with on my end.
Stephen Marks, president of the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance. I'm glad you brought up Jill Shupp because we have talked about her on this show in the past. She has presented, she's already filed bills about concerning red flag laws, gun grab laws here in the state of Missouri. And, you know, we have seen, we've talked a lot about these red flag laws on this show, and we have seen other states that have Republican supermajorities, Republicans that dominate that state's House and Senate and governor's mansion, and still some of these red flag laws have snuck through. We've even seen the NRA endorse some of these red flag laws. How closely are you guys watching these laws that allow people to file a complaint against someone and then that person gets their guns taken away from them without any due process? They have to go and then prove that they are not dangerous before they get their guns back. That's exactly the opposite of innocent until proven guilty. How dangerous are these red flag laws, and how much do as a citizenship do we need to keep an eye on making sure that that is not something that happens here in Missouri?
We all should be terrified of this because it takes away the ex post facto element of, you know, having a hearing before a judge before any of this transpires. Can you imagine somebody knocking on your door at 5 o'clock in the morning saying, I want your firearms, and you have no idea what it's all about because some nincompoop doesn't like you or makes an allegation of something that has no ground in reality, and here you're having to answer all this and deal with this right out of the chute. There's a lot of problems that come up with this, and losing my rights in this state of Missouri because somebody doesn't like me or has an agenda against me, it's not right at all. And these rights that we have and exercise here in the state of Missouri were given to us by our Creator, bestowed onto us by our Creator. And these politicians wish to define this in a different way, and it's not proper, it's not right.
Steve, do you have any? Are there ever a good place for a gun-free zone? Is there ever a right place for that, or should people be allowed to carry everywhere they go, no matter where it's at?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, this got to remember, a gun-free zone is just a sign. It's just a sign. Mm-hmm. The studio you're in right now probably is a sign that says no beverages, no eating. Well, you know, if you like to sip on a water or a Pepsi-Cola or another product.
Big Monster.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever you have a taste for, you know. It's just a sign, isn't it? To tell you can't do that. You may violate it, so. That's just a sign. It doesn't prevent anything. It doesn't prevent any ill intent by people. So I'm relating back to the concealed carry prohibitions that we have here. It doesn't prevent anybody from, it has evil intent from carrying out their design.
So I'm reminded of a meme that is, I'm assuming like a Democrat or a liberal, and he's getting robbed, and he says, "Hey," the bad guy's got a gun. He goes, "Hey, you can't have that here."
You know, this is the whole thing that you're touching on. This is the whole thing. You got to think back at how some of these things are being defined and who is defining these things for us. Like you hear on the news constantly being over the head is gun violence. It's not gun violence. It's criminal violence.
Right.
See, the nincompoops and the snowflakes in this world have defined this, and the press is eating it up. And so they parrot their exact statement. It's gun violence. It is not. A gun is just an inanimate object. It doesn't jump off the table and chase you down the street. It's an inanimate object.
Right, and I think Tony said before, the Democrats are great at defining things.
Exactly, exactly. You have to correct their definition with common logic, sense, and reason.
Yeah, they're great at labeling things and making things sound, you know, all evil. Warm and fuzzy and good.
Or
and,
evil.
And yeah, you know. or making a gun sound like the most evil thing in the world. They're good at optics, and they're good at, you know, putting labels on things, and that is another thing that we have to combat constantly.
So you have to combat the definitions that that this group would like to, you know, make normal, and is not normal. Yeah, you can mention, too, that, you know, if an automobile mows over 13 people in a crosswalk, do you blame the automobile or do you blame the driver, hold the driver responsible for his behavior? This is the whole thing. The NRA defined a lot of this years ago, not too long ago, but it was one of the issues they were dwelling on in this, that the current laws that are on the books nationally and statewide, the violation of a criminal code violates several of the current laws that are in place federally and state level. And if prosecuted to the fullest extent of each and every one of these violations, it's enough to put a criminal away for 175 years. Mm-hmm. But it's not being done. It's not being enforced. It's not being prosecuted as such. But there's enough laws here to have penalties that add up to, a couple of lifetimes.
Yeah. Now, the... I just totally lost my train of thought.
I got one.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, I'm back.
Oh, you got it? Go ahead. Go ahead. I got one more for him, too.
The Democrats, I get this in the CCW classes a lot that we hold at Southern Armory, and I ask people a very simple question. Are we a stand-your-ground state, or are we a castle doctrine state? And normally the class is a mix, and I always ask them after we go through that portion of the law, and they can't really tell me, and I say, well, did you see castle doctrine anywhere in here? And they're like, well, no, we didn't see those words. I go, did you see the stand your ground in there? And they say, no, we didn't see those either. And I go, well, we just talked about, you don't have a duty to retreat from your house or anywhere you're legally allowed to be. Mm-hmm. I go, that is stand your ground, and that is the castle law doctrine. I go, well, those are media defined terms. The Democrats put those on there and made them sound evil, when it really, it's just you don't have a duty to run away from those places.
Right.
And so the Democrats have done a great job.
You're just legally allowed to defend yourself.
Right.
You don't have to put labels on it.
We're here.
All right, Steve, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment anyway, so I'm just going to ask you one more question. Sure, and it's wanted to ask you about the medical marijuana situation that is the state of Missouri is facing now. Of course, voters just passed the medical marijuana initiative, and that is something that cancer patients and other patients will be able to receive medical marijuana as part of their treatment, a prescription from their doctor. However, with marijuana still being illegal on a federal level, if a cancer patient is being prescribed marijuana by their doctor, right now, if they were to then try to buy themselves a gun and were honest on the background check information and said, yeah, I am taking medicine, I'm being prescribed marijuana by my doctor, they would fail their background check and they would not be allowed to purchase a firearm in the state of Missouri. How important is it that we get those types of situations squared away as soon as possible? And is there any fairness at all in keeping someone who has a prescribed medicine from their doctor from being able to defend themselves?
Well, unfortunately, if you need this, I'm not a user of cannabis, or never been, but what I'm familiar with is what Illinois has been dealing with over there with their Floyd card system in Illinois and the recreational or medical marijuana that they have over in Illinois. And a friend of mine is a dealer over there, told me his experiences dealing with this and some of the denials he had. And this is the way Illinois takes care of it or does this. Is if you have a cannabis card for Illinois for medical marijuana and you go in to try to purchase a firearm, any kind, right, long gun, other, or handgun, you get a delay. And this delay goes forever. Huh. And with Illinois, they don't have to issue within 3 days with no reply. You just don't get a reply from the State Highway Patrol in Springfield, Illinois. And all you can do is go back and reapply again. But the same result ends up being in limbo.
Yeah.
They're not allowed, the dealer's not allowed to tell the customer that the reason you're not getting approved is you have a medical marijuana card, and it's a red flag going up in Springfield, and you're being denied your right to purchase a firearm. Now, I imagine Missouri would be in the same position with a background check. This would be a record of like a driver's license, that you are being watched and scrutinized for the background checks as these go through on the national level, which Missouri would be on the national level instead of the state level like Illinois. But I imagine this would pop up as a red flag also, because this is public information as far as the government goes.
Well, it's all the more reason to support and learn about organizations like yours. For everybody that's listening, you know, our friends at the Missouri Firearms Coalition, of course, Steve, who we're talking to right now, he is the president of the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance. These groups go and follow them and support them, and they are the ones that will fight to get the rights that we've been talking about that, you know, that we have now mostly, but there's we still have some work to do. So, Steve, I just wanted to say thank you one more time for your time today. If you guys want to learn more about the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance, you can go to GCLASTL.org. That's GCLASTL.org. That is their website, and you can go and learn more about this great organization there. Steve, thanks for your time today. I hope we talk to you again soon.
Hey, listen, fellas, keep up the good fight.
Thank you. You
too. Thank you, sir. Bye.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we get back more Second Amendment Radio right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo with my partner Aaron Tarlow. Ryan Wiggins is in for Chad Ellis today. Just had a discussion with Stephen Marks, the president of the Gateway Civil Liberties Alliance. Don't forget, you can always go to our website, 971talk.com, or even better, download the radio.com app, and you can listen to the podcast of this show absolutely free. And so simple, especially on that radio.com app, because you can just download it into your phone, favorite the radio station, and then you have access to all the shows here, including, of course, Second Amendment Radio. And with just a click of a button, you can download the podcast for free into your phone and listen to it anywhere you want. So if you want to hear that interview with Steven or anything else that we've done here on the show, again, make sure you download the radio.com app or just go to our website, 971talk.com, click on podcasts.
And share it with your friends. And I had that question too, kind of this week, is, hey man, I missed the show Saturday. I'm like, here's the link.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've been sharing that too.
It's super easy on the website, because you don't even have to download it if you don't want to. You can just click play on the website and listen to it.
And it'll just play it, yeah.
It's the radio.com app to me is the coolest thing, because it's just so simple. And once you have it downloaded, which takes like seconds,
you just stream it.
You just tap on anything you want. You can go ahead and listen to all the shows here, all the podcasts that we have. And Second Amendment Radio is right there for you, real easy to access.
There you go, guys. All right.
Talking about the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page, the Southern Armory Facebook page, you had mentioned earlier that there's a big bump stocks discussion happening right now. I know people have had a lot of questions about bump stocks. Enlighten us on what that discussion is.
We posted up the ATF.gov, the final rule, and they've said effective 26th of March that it will make the bump stock now, quote, a machine gun. So they have a what to do and a background on there. But the one option is to destroy the device. There is the methods include melting it, shredding it, crushing it, or there is a couple spots you can cut it. And they have a link that shows you how to do it.
It is illegal to own a bump stock
after the 26th of March.
And this is nationwide?
Nationwide, yeah. It's going to be part of the national...
Are you allowed to sell bump stocks until March 26th?
No. We've been getting that question, too.
Yeah.
Those manufacturers are already shut down, and they're not going to produce anything.
Right. Were bump stocks even a hot item until... Las Vegas.
Not until the media fuel fed it.
Right.
You know, fanned
it. Was just kind of a
novelty.
Yeah.
It's like my belt fed. It's like my belt fed upper.
Yeah. And then suddenly it became the most popular thing in the world.
And it's not. And really, we haven't had people coming in asking for bump stocks in forever.
Right.
You know, after the shooting happened, they're like, we're going to ban them. A few people came in, they all sold out. And then the ones that wanted it got it, and that was it.
Right.
And those were the ones that. You got to remember, bump stocks has been around for 10 years, 12 years better.
Yeah.
So those were the people that just decided, hey, I want it. Let's get it. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to ban it. And there's a lot of that, you know.
Sure.
I bought my first AR, my first AK like that. You know, Obama was coming in. I read the writing on the wall. They might try to ban this stuff. Let's go
get
it.
How many people do you think that rushed out to buy it because it was going to get banned are going to go ahead and melt them now?
You know, I actually had one guy, and this is on the Facebook page.
I'd say it's a very small percentage.
Yeah, he goes, you know, think about it. 100 years from now, these archaeological—say the word for me—
Archaeological.
Archaeological.
The person is an archaeologist.
Archaeologist. Yeah. And I don't know why I'm so tongue-tied today.
Oh, I get like that.
Yeah.
I do it live doing the news a lot.
They're going to be mess. That's why you should record it. Anyway, they're going to be digging this stuff up, and they're going to go, what are these devices? And
that
of course,
everybody buried.
Yeah, that everybody buried, you know, 100 years ago. And then I just posted up my ATF meme, which is like the guy that's like, I'm from the ATF, please keep talking. And then I have another one that's the guy, you know, says ATF on his hat, and he says, hey, guys, come check this out. And then on the other side of the fence, all these little other ATF guys pop up. And I'm like, dude, don't put that on the internet, you know? Like, I get what you're saying. Don't put it on the internet.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even waste my money on getting one.
Yep.
You
hey,
know?
Real quick, too, something you mentioned earlier in the show. We had the really bad weather last week. We're having it again right now as we speak. You know, there's been more weather this weekend. Talk about those get home bags and what you guys have out there at Southern Army.
So we do have backpacks. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest to you, and this is probably the best advice I can give you, is gather up all the stuff you think you need, okay, to get home. Mm-hmm. And we're talking like a bag that's good for 24 hours or 48 hours. And consider the things you need. Let me hit the high points real quick, because, you know, I'm first responder, so of course I'm a scanner junkie too. Yeah. I want to listen, especially when there's a big event going on like the weather, just to see where stuff's shut down, where the accidents are happening, et cetera. Yeah. But we had all that stuff. And then, you know, around midnight, 1 a.m., I still have the radio on in the house, and I start hearing EMS calls go out for diabetic emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you should be putting in your bag are the medicines you're going to need. And, you know, if you take medicines, and I'm sure everybody takes medicines, you always miss a day or two, and you always have those extra pills. So go ahead and take those extra pills, throw them in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
If you take insulin, put it in your bag. If you take insulin, you're obviously diabetic, so make sure you put some food, like high sugar food, in your bag as well, a drink or a bar or something like that. And then if you, like, people ride around with me, they're like, man, I'm thirsty, and I'm reaching in like the back seat of my truck and pulling out like a bottle of water out of the case, because I go to Costco and I buy it for like $1 for like, you know, 7,000 bottles.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, ridiculous. So water's cheap. Put that in a vehicle. Food, you know, the protein bars, etc. The Weiss food, which we have at the shop, stores for 10 years. Sometimes I'll just make a chili from the Weiss food. It's delicious. I throw a little Tabasco in there, and it's awesome. So the get-home bag, you know, think about it. Food, water, wintertime. Like right now, I've got a couple blankets in there because it break down the side of the road and get cold. During the weather event, we actually had 5 gallons of gasoline in the Jeep.
Mm.
I've got a jerry can that seals up real good, like the mil-spec ones, and that was in the Jeep. You can't smell it at all, and it's strapped down and back. If I drive the truck, I throw an extra 5 gallons of diesel in the back and the bed and strap it down, because 5 gallons is, you know, it gets you at least overnight, keep the car running.
And we saw a lot of that with people that were almost out of gas on the road.
Stranded.
They get stuck, and now they run out of gas.
Yeah.
Also, a flashlight from our friends at Intervine.
Yeah, flashlight is a great
Intervine.
Thing.
Intervine.com.
I carry a big battery pack well.
Yeah.
So lots of little stuff that you can come in the shop and grab, especially backpacks, food, a knife, you know, just the little stuff that we have.
Yep.
Some warm clothes, like we have some fleeces that are real, like, heavy duty. You can throw that in a bag, and that'll conceal a firearm. So that's really all I got. But I think I'm going to do a video with my get-home bag. And then my daughter, Piper, has got one as well. So, you know, if you've got a little kid and, you know, you got a good idea, and if you're an adult, you'll have a good idea too.
Look for that video on the Southern Armory Facebook page and the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. Make sure you send us some more questions, and we'll try to get to all those questions next week. That's going to do it for another edition of Second Amendment Radio. For my partner, Aaron Tarlow, a big thank you to Ryan Wiggins for his help today. I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
KFTK St. Louis.
Ha, 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 ha.